Gracious Heavenly Father above, we thank you for grace again today, and thank you, Father, for your love. Lord, we being your people, Father, and though we know that we are a special people, predestinated, foreknown even before the foundation of the world, that we should be gathered unto you, and that we, that you are our Father, and we are your children. For this cause, Lord, you send your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Father, to die for our sins and to redeem us back unto yourself. And with this revelation and understanding of our relationship with you, Lord, therefore, Lord, may our spirit be right with you. May we give you the honor that is due to you, Father, in our everyday life. We want to thank you, Lord, for all things that you have done for us. For thou art worthy of praise and glory. And we all give you the praise and the thanks today, Father, for giving us salvation. We commit this time to you now, Lord, as we go into the discussion and look at some of the points in your word, Lord. You help us to receive some of the golden nuggets in this life that we live, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We are very well aware of the recent event that happens in India. Of a certain preacher, well-known preacher, that passed away. And every time that you see some holy men, as you were saying, that died, and he being a well-known figure, there's always a great, propagation or dissemination of news regarding this particular holy man. The thing is that we have a lot of people in the world today that are bent on following superstition. A lot of people doesn't know what truth really is. And so they follow the teaching of certain men or follow certain religion. Just a brother Pati was sharing with just now in his testimony how true that really is. You are born a Catholic, you are raised a Catholic, so you are baptized as a Catholic, and you just go on following what is being handed down to you. Until the day you begin to search for truth, you will still be bound by the Spirit. That is in the newspaper just last week. I don't know how many of you have seen this paper. Ever seen this paper? It's called Teach People to Detect Baloney Online. I don't know how many of you read newspapers. Some of you don't read newspapers at all. You only read your career, your project, your schoolwork. You don't read newspapers. You know? And you know one thing, here in Singapore, we live in this island nation. We have the internet. We have the newspaper, we have the radio, and it's constantly knowledge or news is being updated every second. And this knowledge is important to the people who are wanting to go forward in their lives, so to speak. But then what knowledge you are getting? So when I first read this article, Teach People to Detect Baloney Online, I find quite interesting. See, this man is hunched over, deep in thought, and looking at his laptop, and, you know, I don't know whether he knows what is baloney online. Certainly there's a lot of things on the internet that are not true. But people will believe them, no matter what. Let me read this to you. Now this is an article written by Massimo Pigrucci, if I pronounce the name right, Hebrew, Italian, I think. And he is, the writer is a professor of philosophy at the Graduate Center of the City University of New York. So let me quote some of the things he said, and I want you to think about this. Because one thing about it is many Christians today are just as ignorant. And ignorance is not a good thing. Alright, so this is what this man wrote. Ignorance is the root of all evil, according to Plato, who also famously gave us a steel current definition of its opposite, knowledge. For Plato, knowledge is, quote, justifiable true belief, unquote. So knowledge is justified true belief. That definition is worthy of consideration as we reflect on the perils of ignorance in the 21st century. Plato taught three conditions must be met in order for us to know, within quotation, something. The notion in question must actually be true. We must believe it, because if we do not believe something that is true, we can hardly claim that we know it. And most subtly, it must be justifiable. There must be a reason why we believe the notion to be true. So there are three, as you say, conditions. The first one, the notion in question must actually be true. Number two, that we must believe it. Then thirdly, it must be justifiable. There must be reason why we believe the notion to be true. So then he gave an illustration here. He said, we all know that the earth is round. How many of you believe the earth is round? How many? Nobody. Only one or two, three, or don't believe one. Those who don't believe that the earth is round. Some of you, your hand is kind of heavy. Who don't believe the earth is round? Put up your hand. Alright, nobody believes the earth is round. There are people in the world that do not believe that the world is round. I want you to know. It's all a flat disc. It's not round. But how do you know that the earth is round? What makes you believe it is true? What justifies that this is true? Huh? Well, you say, oh, God made a set of satellite, right? And I took a picture of it, and the earth is round, right? Yes or no? But you know, how do you know that it's true? That it was a satellite picture? This is what the man is arguing. How do you know that the picture that somebody showed you, that the earth is round, to show the proof to you that the earth is round, that this image is truly taken from outer space? Do you know years ago when Armstrong, and I believe he was the first man to land on the moon, right? Was he not? Yes. And you know what I have certain friends who are Muslim who told me that it is not true. Because in some circle of the Islamic faith, they said that the moon is sacred. Because after all, they have to look at the moon to see whether they start the Ramadan or not. You want to know that, don't you? So to some of these people, I said, no. It is American, they are tricking people into thinking that, oh, they have landed on the moon. I don't blame them. Because after all, look at the picture on the internet that you have. What, have you seen what's on the Yahoo News lately in Singapore? Some of the politician, superstar, Kung Fu, all that kind of thing, and Wonder Woman. Right? You can superimpose, you can create something that's not there. Look at the movie today. CGI with whatever, they look so real, merged with human life. Can you tell them apart? Of course we know there's CGI now, because we know. But if you were to take these and go into the jungle and show to the jungle man out there in Africa, they say, wow, where did they come from? Where did this monster come from? Are they really existing? You see that? So how do you know that thing is true? What proof that thing is true? You see, and this is what the man is arguing. Okay, you say, oh, the eclipse. I can prove this also by the eclipse. When you see the eclipse, you can see it's wrong, right? But what the hell do you know it is true then? Just because it's eclipse. So there's a lot of argument. And so now that he's trying, the point is that the beginning of wisdom lies in the recognition of how little we really know.
So we think we know, huh?
The moon is round, the earth is round, and this and that. We think we really know. But it just began to prove, because they always question and question the question to make you to justify what you believe is true. And it just shows us how little we really know. There are so much things that we really don't know. Do you realize that? And that's what the atheists. They don't believe in God. Simply because they say they think that the God is just an object where people create religion to worship. You understand? Huh? And that's what the devil is doing. And in fact, some time ago, it was in another piece of article on the newspaper that the scientist has finally found, they call it the God atom. How many of you read the article? Scientist has found the God atom, the one atom that created all this whole universe. Hallelujah! That is true, because God is God. Huh? Why do you call it a God atom? Because no, they don't acknowledge God. That's why the Bible says the fool says there is no God. So they have to give this atom a name, a God atom. Interesting, huh? So what do we know about truth? Let me say it here a little bit further. You see, which brings me to the paradox of ignorance in our era, or in our era. On the one hand, we are constantly bombarded by expert opinion of all sorts of people with or without PhD behind their names. So we have a lot of people with a lot of opinion. Right? Yes. Now how many of you still believe that you should not walk under a bamboo pole where there are women's underwear? How many of you still believe that when you walk under it, you will be swayed? Mean bad luck will come to you. Huh? But you know that there are still people doing that, they believe in that, and that a young man can never handle a woman's panty, not even a mother's panty or the sister's panty. You know that? That's what they believe. And in America and England, especially England, there are all these horoscope stuff in the newspaper, there are people who believe whatever cup of society call it, you know, they wouldn't walk down the street with a black cat cross their palm. They will not go forward. They will walk another way. Not the path where the black cat has, you know, crossed their path. They are bound by superstition. Ignorance. But to them there is knowledge. Because they believe that is true. So what justifies that what they believe is true? That a black cat crossing your path and you walk past it, you're going to bring you bad luck. What justifies in Asia to walk under the panties of a woman brings you bad luck? What justifies that? Trace it to the source. Otherwise, we don't want to find the truth. We'll always be ignorant in that. So he continued to say, on the other hand, most of us are woefully inadequate to practice the vulnerable and the vital art of baloney detection for most politely critical thinking, which is so necessary in modern society. Yeah, and you find that a lot of young people today, we are living in this world today. Look at the religion. Don't talk about politics, talk about religion. And talk about your education. You're going to study something, or you're going to a religious group to enjoy yourself, to fellowship. Do you ever think like this man? I know the great distinctive posture. Do you ever really think that the church that you go to is telling you the truth? Is teaching you the truth? And if you think that religion is just a religion, I believe because, you know, pastor said so. So don't take my word for it. And you just believe and you think that you will go to heaven because of what the pastor said. It is not what the pastor said. It is not what the preacher said. It is what the word of God says. That is important. And for you to know what it says, not because the preacher read it and expound it to you, and therefore you think that is true. It is for you to study it, to check it out, as Paul said, study to show yourself approved unto God. As Jesus said, search the scripture. You see, the Pharisees are religious people. When they preach and they teach the people, the teachers, they expect, because they are the spiritual father, the religious father who care for our soul, who have to trust them. You trust them. Would you trust the soul in the hand of anybody? You know, me, myself, I'm being called of God to preach. I even examine myself daily. I just check on myself and see, am I in the Word? Is my soul completely in the hands of God? The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, that oh, I'm going to church, I get baptized, and then I'm going to heaven. That's not that easy, just to simply believe like that. Unless you have that revelation of what truth is, you will not have that eternal life. Oh, but the Bible said the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all sin. I know the Bible said that. The devil also know what the Bible said, and he trembled. You need to have a revelation of that knowledge. You need to follow through until God touches you with the Holy Spirit and says, you are mine. I love a song that I have on my old recording. MP3 player, whatever you want to call that. This one belongs to me. I love that song. This one belongs to me. It was a story. It's a story of this man was singing. He said, you know, I was shaking, I was trembling because I was with a broken window, and the man was standing there, was angry with, you know, was angry man. I was shaking, you know, man, because he had broken the window with his baseball bat, a baseball. And then he said, then there was another voice that the father, you know, his father came to the angry man and said, we will pay for it. We will, you know, we will recompense, we will pay whatever is, you know, we will fix the window. But don't touch this one. This one belongs to me. He is mine, you know. He's my flesh and my blood. That's why we are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you can hear the voice of God saying to you, this one belongs to me. You belongs to me. That's why the song that I wrote, it was by, I don't know what you call it, incident. It was just an anointing. It was just in the toilet shouting. Bathroom, just what shouting. And my voice just come out and that song just came within 5 minutes. I belong to you, Lord Jesus. I belong to you. Thank you for saving me. You know. So if you find that if you are not come to the place where you have that revelation, that Holy Spirit coming to you and touches you and says, you belong to me, then you have not yet really belonged to Him. You need to come to the place. That's what the Bible says, repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's when you begin your journey. Some people begin the journey not knowing whether they are a child of God or not. You know? And some people begin their journey, never was a child of God at all. And even at the end of the journey, still never a child of God. Some started off knowing that they are a child of God. Some started on the journey, halfway down the road. Hey, all this time, I was a child of God all this time. I didn't realize that. You know. You see, when you are a child of God, as a prodigal son, you're just a prodigal son. And you need to come home, right, Brother Henry? You know. That's the reason that when the mama talking to those children of hers before she passed away, to each of every one of those that she knew is a child of God, she said to them, good night. But to the one whom she knew to have been far, far away from God, she said, goodbye. And that made him to be aware the difference between good night and goodbye. Here we live, we are awake. Yeah, that's life, but the next moment we are about to die, it's just like a sleep. The Bible calls it sleep. Wow, we can bid the world goodbye, but we bid our fellow brother and sister goodnight. Because our eyes will close, and next moment we will be over there, and we will unite with our loved ones. It's a right. So now he will continue to say that the knowledge and information is constantly available to us. Yet we still lack the basic skills of reflecting on such information, of sifting through the dirt to find the worthy nuggets. How? Well, a lot of people, now think about this, I'm talking about the church. You go into churches, you're going to learn something. But if you go to churches, like what I heard somebody say, he was asked to go to one of these mega church. And so when they went together, they were there for half an hour, and they laughed. One man asked the other, he says, "Why did you leave?" He says, "The pastor is preaching nonsense. All that he talks about is nothing scriptural. No basis for truth." And that's what many people will sit there in the church for an hour to hear something that has no biblical truth. No nugget that is worth to be taken and kept. You know. And that's one thing we ought to realize. Jesus, when he came, he fed the people with this word. Not the physical food I'm talking about of bread and fishes. He fed them the word of God. But then, when people hear, they do not know how to sift through what is Jesus trying to tell them. And not even the disciple. They couldn't even understand some of the parables. And they asked Jesus, "Why do you do that? Why do you speak in parables?" And Jesus said that by speaking parables, they think that they hear and understand, but they don't. Because unto them it is not given. The truth that way is not given to everybody. Not everybody. Jesus said, "I came to seek the lost." Right? Huh? "I came to save the sinners, not the righteous." And he doesn't come to save the atheists or the agnostic. People who already think high and mighty of themselves, that they know everything. So when you come to church, are you getting the word of God? Are you getting knowledge of the word of God, the truth? Or are you just there for entertainment? Are you just there just to make yourself feel good? And of course, there were times of parents forced their children to church. Forced their children to go to church when they do not want to go to church. You see, every one of us has to make a choice. You can raise a child, of course. But when a child comes to a certain age, he doesn't want to go to church, do force him. Because why? You make that child more hateful towards your faith. That is true. You know, Christ came to send a sword into the house. The gospel is the sword. To divide even from the father from the son. The mother even from the daughter. Right? Look at Brother Patsy. Right? When the truth came into it, when he was baptized, how does his father feel? Huh. Right? That's a lot of anger. Because he doesn't believe. It's against the very gospel. He may be a Catholic. Even some people, some Christian family, they are Protestant. Maybe they are Pentecostal. When one of the members of the family received this message, my, everybody will get woke up. "Oh, you know that? Be careful. My brother practices friend. Be careful. It's false doctrine, it's false things, and this and that." Why? They said it because they did not sit what they hear in whether it is truthful now in the Word of God. Whether it lines up with the Word of God or not. So we need to be able to, you know, as Christian, we must study the Word of God. I don't expect you to study the Word of God every day like you study your schoolwork, you know. But spend a little time read the Bible, take a subject, some doctrine, some teaching, and then follow and see whether those things are true. Right? You know, I have been invited now with a brother from Ghana. I met him way back in the 90s in Uganda. At that time he was in Uganda. Now he's in Ghana. So he asked me, "Brother Gavin, would you be able to come to Ghana at the end of the year?" You know. But it has been a long time I know him, and he has been here and there, whatever, I don't know. You see, people will always be tested. We will have our troubles and our trials, as a song said. One moment you say you believe in, next moment the devil come around and put something in your head and argue with you through a friend or whatever. And then you begin to say, "Oh, maybe, yeah, maybe what I believe is wrong." When you start thinking like that, you better go back to the Bible and check it. Because the devil has a way of twisting it out of your head and getting it out from you. You know that? Look at Judas Iscariot. Was with Jesus Christ all those times. And Jesus Christ sent them out two by two. And give them the power to cast out devil in his name. To heal the sick in his name. Oh, you know, I can feel how Judas must be very excited. Wow! Even the devil subject to us in your name, Lord, they came back was all rejoicing. You know. But all the time, even though Judas has sinned and hurt of the ministry of Christ and the world respectively, and have even this power to cast a devil. But when it comes to that crucial moment, oh my. The devil just came into him. Huh? And so the Bible said that the devil entered into Judas Iscariot. And Jesus said, "What do you have to do? Do it quickly." And he went out, betrayed Christ. Sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Yes. I have been a Christian all this year. Now I was in Maximus of God, and I know some of the examples of, you know, in those days back then, those that were older than me, by a year or two perhaps at that time. And oh, there were deacons in the church. There were Sunday school teachers in the church. But many of them are no longer around since. And there have been some that have accidents so far that say, you know, "I don't believe in God no more." What happened? You let the devil take that out from you? Because the devil, the number one thing, he's a thief. You see. And you can be speaking in tongues for 20, 30 years, 40, 50 years. And then finally at the end of it, he says, the whole thing was just an excitement. You know, there's no God. And you deny completely the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven." Right? And you know, that thing is very true, because in the first place, that person never really had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, He puts you in the body of Christ, you cannot be lost. Jesus said, "Whosoever the Father has given me, will come to me. And nobody take him out of my hand." Until you have this revelation, this truth. But how do you know what truth is then? And this is the argument. You have to base your truth, your revelation, according to the Word of God. Not according to what a preacher said, according to the Word of God. That's the reason why it's so important, as King David said. You know King David, when he was a young little boy, the father sent him out to take care of the sheep. The rest of his brother joined the army. Okay? Come on, little David, little guy, come on. Go take care of the sheep. You know, there is sheep in it. It doesn't matter. He just go out there and do as he was told. Took the sheep out into the wilderness, took out there in the pasture. And all he had, the whole world to himself out there, alone with God. Took his guitar. And he started to play on his guitar. And he started to compose songs and sing unto the Lord. And he was so near to God. Because of that, he spent time with the Lord. He had a whole lot of time. I don't know how many hours out there in the field, you know. Maybe from morning till night, and then in the evening time, bring the sheep back home. He was so close to the Lord. That's why he said what? He said, the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my pathway. Why? He knows the Word of God. He recites the Word. He thinks, he meditates on the Word of God, because he goes to the synagogue and on the temple, and that was read, the Word was read, and he what we call, he recalled those things, meditated on those things. Until when he went up to the army there in the Philistine land, the valley and all Goliath, making fun of Jehovah God. Challenging the whole camp of Israel. Is there no man here to fight Goliath? And of course everybody is shivering in their pants. That guy is a big guy. I don't know, maybe he's 9-10 feet tall. And all these 6-footers, and no matter how big they are, they're all shivering. You know. And it doesn't matter, just think about the sword of your life, how big it is. And when David came and brought food to the brothers, just what's going on there? Who is that? Who is that fool out there, the idiot out there, you might want to call him? You know, blasphemy! The God of Israel! And he went up there, and all the army soldiers says, come on, that's none of the business, you young fella. He probably isn't, maybe he's 20 years old. You know, he's not a little boy, as a song says, a little boy called David, a little boy called David. No, he's about 20 years old. And those other guys are all 30 years old, and a big guy. And David says, you mean none of you challenge that guy? And they're probably looking at him, like, come on man, you're young, what do you know? You're not even joined the army, you know. You're not even an NS man. Well, never mind, and says, I could take it. And they started to put on the helmet and all these things, and I said, fitting that it's too heavy. He says, I don't need this. I'm going to fight this giant in the name of the Lord. I fight him in the name of the Lord. He's not afraid to die, you know. After all, he's out there already, he has been fighting away the wolves and the lions and the bears, right? You know, and with this guy, nothing to him. So he went out there, he took his sling. No sword, no shield, no arrow, no spear, just the sling. Because that's how he fought, you know, against the lions, the bear comes. So he just took 5 pebbles. They call it 5 stone. You all play 5 stone when you're young? So maybe he was playing 5 stones, so he took 5. So already they put only 1. Goliath think that it was just a funny thing. Here, little young fella, you know, but I'm not even 6 feet. You know. And he's almost twice as tall as that guy, I would say twice and 1.5 times. You know. Very threatening. Very threatening, isn't it? Yes. In the world today, you have terrorists, very threatening. Extremist, very threatening. For that matter, let me show you this here. Now, I won't mention a man's name, because I don't want to call his name. As far as I'm concerned, you know what? Two or three years ago, this man started attacking me. I mean, there have been men attacking me for no rhyme or reason. I don't even know them. And this one attacked me simply because he was following a chief apostle in America, whom I associate with, but because of the thing that's going on, that chief apostle attacked me because he considered my doctrines wrong. And his is right, so he had to defend himself. Watch it. Okay, I don't defend myself, I defend the word. But men who think themselves to be better than others will always defend themselves. Think about it. I want you to know that, huh? This is the same whether in politics or religion, or in any circle, or any company. My mind seeks power, They will not defend what is true. They defend themselves. What did King David defend? He defend himself. He defend the name of the Lord that has been blasphemed. He defend the truth. God is still God. And how is he defending? And this man from Nigeria, you know, because he believed in that chief apostle in America, and because the chief apostle in America attacked me upon my doctrine, I didn't say nothing. Even though he assumed a lot of things which was not true, and asked him to give me two witnesses and I will apologize, he couldn't find, he couldn't prove. Because it's all a fraction of the imagination, because they feel that their doctrine or ministry has been threatened. And so this man came along and joined him and prophesied that he would not die, but he died. So he twists and turns, you know. He has a way of twisting and turning. Look, if your prophecy is right, somebody asks you, what happened? You tell him, I was under a wrong spirit. That's it. And apologize. No! He will twist and he turned. And he's been attacking me. I didn't bother about him, you know. I tell you all sorts of things about my doctrine, repeating exactly what the chief apostle said, and he made himself the leading apostle. And there's no such a thing as this. No such thing as chief apostle or leading apostle. We're all just apostles, pastors, evangelists, you know, teachers, and so on. That's all. No chief. Nobody is chief except one. And that is our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. So here I tell me and all this sort of thing, and well, I leave him alone, you know. Because as Barbara would say, I'm not sent to argue and debate over doctrines. But it was, as I said, somehow because of his preaching and all this propagating, some of the churches that associate with us or in the truth were shaken. And that's when Brother Nice, who also is from Nigeria, called me and said, Brother, please do something. He said, you know what these gun men have done? I said, yeah, I know what you've done. He said, please do something. I said, do what? He was on the phone and I said, it was funny. He was so agitated. He was so much called. Want me to do something. So what do you want me to do? Write something. I said, write what thing? You know, and because I already got an email from another brother earlier of what happened to the church that I know. You know, who has been deceived by him and fall into it. And give about $40,000 to this man. So when I said, okay, I'll pray about it and see what I will do. And a few days later, I sat down. And I began to take a computer and says, Lord, I pray. I said, what do you want me to do? What do you mean to write? And that's when I wrote this book called Relegal. Okay? I just sat down there and said, the first word I typed was religo. And what is religo? And I explained religo. From there, the Spirit takes over. And I began to write out this message. Well, after it was written, as I said this, I sent it to Nigeria. And Brother Nice was very happy. The minister's meeting, he'd give the book out. And he shook the whole of that place. You know. And the brother, whom was associated with us, was here before, you know him, began to open his eyes, was open. I talked to him on the phone, at that particular time when he was with him, with this man. And he think that this man was correct. So I left him alone. So his church was actually crushed. So when he read the book, this book of mine, then he realized that he was being misled. You see, men like this can claim that they know what they're talking about. But a lot of people who hear such a man, do they take what he said into the Word of God and check it out? Don't be ignorant. That's what this man wrote in this article. Can you detect baloney? You know what baloney is? Sounds like a sausage, huh? That's what baloney is, the sausage thing. You know, it looks good, you eat it, you accept it, and you eat it. So you need to know the fact. Is it true? Like he said here. Let me just read it again. First of all, it says the notion in question must be actually be true. That is, the idea must be true. Then if it's true, we must believe it. Then the third thing is that it must be justifiable. There must be reason why we believe that to be true. So, if people hear this man say all this blah 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 blah, do you take it to the Bible and to find out whether those things are true? So you know what? So after a while, Brother Nice was happy because a lot of churches now realized they were wrong. And their different churches asking me to send this book to them. Lo and behold, after a while, this book was sent to me. This book belonged to this man. You know what? When I received this book, I didn't even bother to read it. I just looked at it just to find out, okay, the first few pages, just to see what he said. So I read it. So he's come up with all his reasoning and all his that. I flipped through it for, I think, about 2 or 3 minutes, just looking at the first few pages, just glanced through it, a few paragraphs here and there, of course, attacking me, and I just put it into my shop. Right. Then a few weeks later, a brother from Zambia wrote me, he said, "Brother again, have you read the book?" I said, "Yeah, I've seen the book. I don't bother to read it." He says, "That's nothing that he can come up with to defend what he preached to be true." I said, "Yes, Brother again, I read through it, and I'm going to write an article about it. And that's posted online too." You see, he said that this man could not defend his truth anymore because, see, you, Brother Gunn, have actually bring everything out according to Scripture. Nobody can deny what he preached to be true, what you have said in those books. But he has no way to defend his. And you know what he started doing? He attacked you. He started calling you name.
Oh my.
So yes, a few days ago, I sat down, I just took up his book. And let me just glance through it. What's on the end? See, I've only glanced the first few pages. I have not glanced to the end. I think the middle is just all garbage anyway to me. So I look at the last few pages, and oh, he was writing about the brother, you know, whose church, you know, who was with us, and then went over to him. And then once the book was, my book, Vertigo, was out, and he realized it, and then no longer he's with him, he began to attack him. This is the tactic of the devil. And finally, I found something here, as the brother said, the Zambian brother said to me, he called you all kinds of names. And this is interesting. So I found it on the last page of this book, the closing of this article. And he said this, "And as I close this book, I will now give you the testimony of two false witnesses, men who confess openly that they saw continuity," because that's what you want to believe. You want to believe that from Brother Branham to Raymond Jackson to him, a continuity of things. Okay? And one of the witnesses you're talking about was the brother whom we associated with, then he came back. Then, of course, he said this. But before I do that, let me say this to this ardent Confucianist, this apostate preacher who got the so-called first prize. That's me, referring to me. Mr. God! See? You know what, brothers and sisters, if you love me, call me brother. Don't ever call me Mr. God, Mr. Richard. If you love me, call me brother. Your young one can call me uncle. Or if you want to call me Lolo, it's okay. Okay, that's no problem. So you love me, call me brother. You see, but here this guy, Mr. God. Now listen to him. If you only can see the way you write, let me tell you loud and clear. Wow. And please hear me well. Even as I stated earlier, I didn't know what he said earlier. I mean, there must be a lot of things coming. This will be the first and the last time I will be joining issues with you. For the Lord has unmasked you. He's trying to temper himself. In the first place, I never argue with him. I never attack you. I never attack anybody in this ministry. They will come and attack me, call me. Other guys, you want UPC? You can see on the website, the one UPC, Cohen Record. I didn't even know this person. He started attacking me. Why? I found later is because there was a minister in Malawi who knew me, okay, and he wanted Minister Malawi to go and join him in his convention in South Africa. So bought him a ticket, but he refused to go. And he asked why. And finally somehow he discovered that, Oh, so he works with this man called Richard Gunn. So he searched the internet for Richard Gunn, and Richard Gunn appeared on the Prophetic Revelation website, and he started attacking me. Why? Just because somebody doesn't agree with you, you attack me as if because I'm the one who is influencing him? No. You know? And what about Jonathan Bruce? An Indian American who thinks himself to be the greatest preacher in the world. And what is his ministry? He will attack every preacher. God called him to attack every preacher. Everybody is a heretic. I don't even know this fellow. And there are all kinds of things that are going on out there, brother. You know what I don't like is when they twist my word. And that's what Kohan Rekha did. Put on his words and twist my word. And I was so funny, I wrote to him, I said, why are you twisting my word? Why don't you just say exactly what I say, and you just explain that you don't agree and give your own version? Why do you twist my word? Things that are not even there. You know, I went to look on his website. He actually removed it. I mean, he knows that he just make a baloney of himself. What about Donald Bruce? The same thing, you go twist. Donald Bruce said that I am one of the seven thunder. I claim to be one of the seven thunder. You will never find it in my teaching because I don't believe that I am. Huh? I don't even know who the thunders are until they come. Just so nobody knows who was Malachi 4, 5, and 6, right? Who was Elijah that restored back to earth? Nobody knows until he appeared and fulfilled scripture. Nobody knows who Jesus was until he appeared. They recognized that he was the Savior. Isn't that right? You cannot assume, oh, he's this one, this one, that one. That's what Jesus said about his second return. He's coming back. He said, don't listen. If somebody said, oh, he's there. Don't you believe it. And this guy, that's what he did. So like me, read what he said. This will be the first and the last time. I'm not even joining issue with him. You know, I never mentioned his name in my book. You know that. Huh? I only preach exactly our quote and he said. I know one thing he did, he will quote what I said, exactly word for word, but he will twist it, you know, in another way against it. So he said this now. You think it is just about picking up your pen and write? And merely condemning something, forgetting that any idiot can do that? Wow, see how strong that is? Okay. But it takes God to write what heavens will accept and uphold, obviously. But he doesn't believe in it. And what can be real spiritual benefit to God's children? You can say and write whatever you like, but from today, I will not be joining issues with you. Who joined issues with you in the first place? You're the one who raised it up. I'm not going to find fault with you. I will take teachings of men, those which I find detrimental to the spiritual well-being of the body of Christ, including yours as I go along. But be certain, whatever books you write or messages you preach concerning my ministry and my message, you will only be wasting your time. See how proud that is? You see how proud that man is? Huh? Probably I'm able to talk about like that. And he continues and said, I have seen your spirit before, and I will not be dancing to your senseless tune. Who asked you to? And he said, I will not be dancing to your senseless tune, you son of Lucifer. Wow. He called me a devil. The same thing with Donald Bruce. He first called me a brother, then he called me a devil. He has a brother for a devil, a devil for a brother. You see the mentality of people. That's the arrogance when the person you know that is wrong will come out with that curiosity. Do you know that, don't you? Yes. What if they call Jesus? Jesus said, if they call me Beelzebub, what do you think they will call you? He told the disciple. They will call you all kinds of names. They will call you all kinds of hateful names. Right. You see. But that's the man he is. And he will always be. Now, let me go on a little bit here. So you know how important it is to not just to hear, to know what truth is and to believe in it. You need to have the true information. You have to check it up with the Word of God. Alright, so he finally here in this paragraph here, you see this, and this is just a little clause here. Of course, it may be that humanity has always been short on critical thinking. That is very true. He's talking about how do we sift, you know, through the dirt to find worthy nuggets. How do we sift through all these doctrines out there, these teachings out there, to know what is worthy nuggets, to what is truth? Look at Martin Luther. Martin Luther, he was a priest. He studied the word, yes. But he was caught up in a system, a tradition. But he was still studying. Well, just like Brother Propsy, huh? Caught up in Catholicism, but still wanted to know the truth. And God will reward those who seek for it. He that seek me early shall find me. You see, that is very true. Martin Luther, when he kept on doing what he was told to do in religiously, but in his heart he was longing for the truth. He probably knew that something is wrong in this system. But one day when he went up on his bed on the knees to go up the staircase, halfway up there, the voice of God spoke to him and says, Luther, the just shall live by faith. That one verse that God spoke to him sparked a revival. He got up, he walked down the stairs, went to his room, he started reading through the Bible and began to understand. Yes, the just shall live by faith, not by penance. You cannot save yourself. You cannot whip yourself like what they are doing over in the Philippines every Holy Week. Nail himself to the cross, acting out the suffering of Christ. You think that's what God wants you to do? It's the suffering of Christ on the cross and paying his price, his, you know, giving his life for you, not enough. Then you have to act the whole thing over and over again. Or to whip yourself, torture yourself. You ever see people when they get upset with themselves, they beat themselves? You ever? It won't save you. You just throw all your burdens to the Lord. Amen. And all your sins to the Lord. That's all that you need to do. You cannot save yourself. And one of the Bible says, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. There's no other way that you can be free. No other way. You know. When you have fear, you cannot be set free. If you hold on to this, this is the system that I'm in. If I leave the Catholic Church because the Holy Father said, who's your Holy Father? The one in Rome? Has to be. He said that if you leave the Catholic Church, you will go to hell. Because this is the Mother Church. You ever heard of, you're a Catholic, right? Who's Catholic here before? You're a Catholic here before too. Yeah, you know that, right? Isn't it? And so there are some of them so proud. I am born a Catholic, I died a Catholic, but never changed. You know, I'm born a sinner. You want to die a sinner? I'm born a sinner, I want to change. Because I will die a sinner if I'm not changed. What's the thing going on? You see, the thing is, all this knowledge is flowing out there. Tradition, but some people don't really want to study. They just follow tradition. My mom prayed to Ireland. Okay, we need to pray. My mom said, I bought three times. I bought three times. Right? Isn't it? How was all? Seven days of the year, we must go to the temple. Say, you're a temple. You must touch the tortoise. Say, touch the tortoise. You know, all those things, I don't know whether you know. I think in India, you have a whole lot of religion. 5 million gods or something. 500 million gods. There are so many gods. Very confusing. Which one is one? There are so many gods. This one, that one, the god, the bird, all this and all the incense and all that. My oh my. Superstition. What is light? I don't know what the Bible said. If God is light, in him is no darkness. In him is no tradition. Tradition always put people in darkness. It's true. You don't believe me. Go to any pagan doctrine. I mean pagan temple. You go in there, it's very gloomy. Wasn't that right? Oh my. I used to go to you know, years back, when I was in the denomination, and even after I came out from the denomination, I would go by myself, take a train, go all the way up to Penang, to KL, to the Penang also. You know what I would do? I would go out there weakness, with tracks in my hand. And used to go to Penang, I get out of the railway station and walk, and then I would walk through a road, cross over to the other side, I would have passed through a temple. So I went and walked through a temple. So I looked at a temple. Inside the temple is always kind of gloomy, you know, dark, and because of the jaw stick burning and all this. And then they have this big tall gods, very big one. Three or four there on the side. Very big, you know. And that's how gloomy it looks. Isn't that so? Go to any temple, you get all sorts of idol here and there. Some of them are very hideous. You know, you've seen that, don't you? Oh, they want to scare you up to hell. They have all these images of Gagoya, and that's why you go back in medieval time. Well, the belief is true. Go to the book of Jeremiah. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10. Someone will read this. I'm quoting some verses without you referring to it, but let us refer to this. Jeremiah chapter 10. Now, we are all familiar with this. For those who know about Christmas tree, why we don't, Christians, do not celebrate Christmas? Why do we not celebrate Christmas? Because Christmas is a pagan holiday. It's a pagan thing. It's nothing to do with the Bible. Huh? So we don't celebrate Christmas. Okay, when we were young, we don't know anything. You know, we're going to change everybody to Christmas tree. So we allow the light of the house, the Christmas tree, and then we have the carol come and sing to us, Holy Night, Silent Night. You know, and all that, the little bird. What is the song? Silent Night, Holy Night, and what else? Oh, little town in Bethlehem. Well, it sounds good. They're all right. They're all good carols. Okay. But the Bible never tells us to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And for your information, Jesus Christ was not born on the 25th December. It was a pagan God's birthday, the sun god. Let's go always back to the Greek. Huh? So when was Jesus born? Come on, you should remember. When is that? Around what month? September, October, yes. That's when he was born. September, October was the date. Was the place where Jesus was born. The Bible never tell you what date, huh? How did they know that it was 25th December? The gods of Utah. That's what it is. All guesswork. All just putting something because of some pagan Greek god. Huh. Isn't it? Okay, so let's see what we say here. And that's it. The Bible didn't ask us to celebrate his birthday. But the Bible tells us to remember his death till he comes. That's why the communion. That's why the three ordinances. We went to water baptism to die with Christ and resurrected. Then we part in the body of Jesus Christ. That's why we wash one another's feet and have service to one another because we are members of the same body. Is that right? Then the communion is to remember his death, what he did for us. That's why we call it water baptism. Huh? And communion with him. So when we partake of the communion, we take the bread, we share with one another. The three ordinances are interconnected. That's why we do that. Okay, now look at here. Chapter 10, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord spake unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. And of course, that's what they do, huh? In the past, you know, the heathen, when they see, hey, what's wrong with this? Oh, the moon is, the dragon is eating the moon. So they take out the gong. Gong, 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 gong. You know that, don't you? You know why they make that noise? Because the dragon is eating up the moon or the sun, and there will be no one down. Let's chase it out. After that, they pass by. Oh, we are safe. You see, that's true. It's God. The dragon is eating up, so we got to scare. So they worship the moon too. They reverend the moon and the sun or whatever. So they wonder the stars and the signs But let us not be dismayed. For the custom, interesting, huh? For the customs of the people are vain. For one cut a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. The dagger with silver and gold, and fasten it with nails and with hammer, and that it move not. Isn't it right? That sounds like a Christmas tree, isn't it? Yes or no? They cut down there and then they put yellow, silver, streamers. And of course, today we use servers, and back in those days when they are rich, but they use gold and silver. But today we use all those glitter, it's not gold thing, plastic. Okay? And you fasten it down, and then you move now. They are upright. See that? They are upright. As the palm tree. But they speak not. They must need be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. Huh? But let me seriously go back to verse 3. Your King James Version said, for the customs of the people are vain. Alright? In the Lamsa's translation, the word custom here in the Lamsa, Aramaic version of the text, it says, for the gods of the people are vain. They are cut from a tree. Right? Yes. Don't you think so? First we think about it as a Christmas tree, but think it the other way. The gods are cut down from a tree. Okay? The gods are cut down from a tree. And then you cut him up, whatever you want, what shape, whatever, the standing shape or the one with the standing in this posture or that posture, whatever, you know what I'm talking about? Huh? And then you deck the god with silver and gold. Is that not true? Yes or no? You garland it also, and you sit down also upright, and it cannot be moved, and you have to carry your gods. My God is worthless. You carry your gods. The gods has to be carried. That's the pagan gods that they have. Huh? Isn't it? They need to be born. I remember that. I see someone, a neighbor in the past. Oh, they have to move from one home to another home. They have got to call these priests to come and carry their gods for them. Where has all their belonging, their beds and their cupboards and their clothing has to go by lorries? This one must get a priest to carry them in a certain way to their new home. Wow. But people will still believe in it. And that's why they're in darkness. They don't know what truth is. And they're locked in there and not be able to come out of it. Do you know the truth? You are not set free. Let me just finish off this last part. In talk about the developed country, the problem is no longer one of access to information, but of the lack of ability to process and make sense of that information. True, no? Information everywhere. You go to the internet, full of things out there. Right? Yes. But how do you make sense of all that information? This guy will come to you and say, this is not true. The other will come to you, this is true. The other guy will come and say, Bob, I'm not true. Then what is truth? That's the only way, this reason why we need to have this. See it through here. And today, as you know, we see people worshipping gods. Gods. Human being as gods. They reveal the person. Maybe only, I think, just a few days ago. I think it was Fridays ago. The Catholic Church exhumed Pope Paul II. Pope Paul VI. Why? Because they want to beautify him. They want to beautify him. They say he is a holy man. He needs to be reverend. Now he got to. He's going to heaven as a whole saint. Oh God. Wow. Very holy. Why do you take so long to beautify a person? Huh? I'm already beautified. The day that I'm born again and receive the Holy Ghost, I'm already beautified. I'm called a saint. Only in Catholic Church, you got to die first before you are saint. You don't have living saints. here in the church of God. All his people are leading sins. Do you know that? Yes or no? What good is it for you to be a dead saint? You'll be a living saint because you testify the living God. Death is useless. And also I was thinking about these people worshipping all these human beings as gods. I don't know, I was trying to look for that book called Small Gods. When my wife was talking about this altar, writing this story, it was just startled. It was only why he has no wings to fly, you know. Everybody wants to be great. I mean, turtle is slow, cannot get nowhere. But if you have wings, you can go one places, no? How many of you wish that you could fly? Huh? It is experience flying like a harpoon in my dream. Oh, it was fantastic. I can tell you, really, it was fantastic. It's the whole thing is real. And this turtle wanted to have wings. Well, and someone told him, one of the creatures, I don't know what told him, if you get two other creatures to believe in you, okay, that you are somebody, you'll be God. Interesting, huh? Yeah. That's just why we have this collector in India, passed away, down over Vatican and all this. He all had to do is to get people to believe that he is somebody from out there. Somebody who has the power. You'll be worshipped as God. That's not true. It is. That's just why, even today, human being, as Paul said, they are no longer worshipping the Creator. They are worshipping the creature whom the Creator has created. Huh? True enough or not? What did they worship over in India? Elephant? Monkey? Peacock? Right? What did they worship back in Egypt? A beetle, a scarab. The fox. Fox, I think it was a fox. A jackal, sorry. Huh? Serpent. Why? Because some foolish man or woman created that. This is holy. This is holy. That cannot be killed. That cannot be killed. So they worship. With all the information you have in the world today. I mean, if you're not educated, I understand. You probably will not know how to look to what you believe in. But with the information that we have today, people still don't see through them. And as Christian, I want you to see through this word. This is the only, as Rob one time preached when he first saw a cigarette butt on the road, and he preached a message on that. Huh? A thinking man's filter. What is a thinking man's filter? Metal horn, metalated cigarette? Is that your thinking man's filter? That's what cigarette seller would tell you, huh? Now you put a filter. You know what I mean? It's better for you. So you create this thinking for you to smoke. Oh, your filter, at least you're quite safe. Huh? Right? So what is we as a thinking man of God and woman of God, what is our thinking man's filter and woman's filter? This is it. This is our filter. Whatever you want to receive, you must first filter through here, out from here. It's all right to filter it. Otherwise, we will still be in a big, big mess. Out there in the Africa jungle. John Mark, Uganda, Karamoja. No foreigner ever been into that jungle. No white men have been in the jungle, you know that? That's a killer, those are killer. And yet the people out there, when John Mark was called of God at a young age, Jesus Christ appeared to him twice and gave him the commission that you be an apostle to your people. When he went up there, you know, he preached simple with the power and he prayed for the sick people to get healed. Revival start. God bless the people. And the people just come. Simply. The woman, as well, Domo said, you know, the people right down there, he told me, Brigham, when you come into my country, into my place, you have to be with me. But I want to tell you our culture. The people in the village there, some of them are educated.
And there were the men who were educated, sometimes they would go out from their village inside the jungle to the city to do business. And when they do that, they would go out there to the city in coats. In Africa, almost everybody wear coats. You know that, don't you? I asked why. They say, oh, if you don't wear coat and tie, the other businessmen would think that you're not serious doing business. So everybody put on a coat and a tie. He told me. And then when this man goes back from the city to his village, he will take off his coat, his suit, and hang it up, and he will only put on a piece of leather around his waist, a cow hide. So, brother, the people, they are half naked. But you know what? He told me, he said, when they receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't have to tell them, brother guy. The moment they know that the gospel to be true, they know that Jesus Christ is the Lord. When they receive it, you know what happened, brother guy? He told me, every one of them know that they must dress proper. They cover up their nakedness. The woman cover up their nakedness. Today, in modern society, women want to expose the bosom. You go and look around in the world today. Why? Who started that? Out there in America, out there in a European country. Huh? Go back to the years that you have, back in the 1930s. What does a swimsuit look like in a woman? It's almost a full thing. Is it right? Do you know that? Then it gets smaller, 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 smaller. One piece to two pieces, they call it bikini. From a bikini become more no kini. And after that, no kini. And that's what they have. That's what they have, what they call nudist camp. In many parts of Europe, in England. You know that, don't you? It is real. And there are people walking in our streets today, half naked. You know what? The Bible shows us that if you have the right spirit of God, you know. Why? How come that Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaf? Huh? Who told them that they were naked? God asked them, who told you you were naked? They were innocent. Sin was not there. Between a man and woman, nakedness is nothing. But suddenly they covered themselves even from husband and wife. Why? Who told you you were naked, Adam? Because the moment they sin against God, everything is turned around. They realize they need to cover themselves up. And they cover. Today, sinners don't realize that they are sinners. They expose themselves. We want to go up, we want to get ourselves prepared to heaven. Let us line up with the Word of God. That's why I'm serious here in this fellowship of ours. To get ourselves line up with the Word of God and stay to the Word of God. The Bible says, work up your salvation with fear and trembling. Let us do it. Amen. And the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we praise you, we bless the holy name. Lord, as the song said, you are my reason for living. Or we will say, Father, Jesus, He is my reason for living. He is the King of all kings. I want to be His possession. For He is my everything. We are thankful, O Lord, that without Jesus Christ, O Lord, this life is not worth the living. But we thank you, O Father, that this life is worth the living. Because we know who holds tomorrow, who holds our future, and who holds our hand. We look to you, Father, today, that you continue, Lord Jesus, to give us the mind of Jesus Christ. We don't want to have any mind or opinion of our own, Lord, to where we will give our own interpretations and what we think and who we think God is and where heaven is and how to get there. We want to have the truth of God. And until, Lord, we sift all the information that we can gather, or that which we hear out there, Father, and you said to us that believe not every spirit, but try them whether they be of God. And he also said, Lord, that my sheep hear my voice, and other voices they will not follow. And the only way we know to do that, Lord, you have taught us to search the scripture. And because, Lord, truly, your sacred word is the filter of all those dirt, all those baloney that are out there, that is out there, Father, in this world. Help us to keep ourselves, Lord, in thy word, and all that which we have learned to keep in our hearts, that we may not sin against thee. And this is the last hour of time, Father, we know you always lead. So we ask for your grace to walk with us, hold our hand, talk with us, Lord, as we journey on together, as thou leadest the way. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.